pass the old wishing well there and make a wish as well if you want to. There'll be homemade refreshments for you. It's all in aid of hospice. And to find out what it's all about, and a little more about it, in fact, I've been down to Grenaby. I was there in the sunshine yesterday to talk to John Garrett and George Garrett and to Nancy Garrett, whose idea it was.
I met Mrs. Shirley James in Castletown. She charged the hospice shop. And I said to her, I'd like to do something for hospice. Well, carry on, she said, well, what do you like to do? I said, well, the highway board have just put a new footpath over the river to Crogbreck to the old Sultan. So, well, she said, what can you do with that? I guess, have a walk. So, well, get on with it then, she said. But go and see Mr. John Dennis, and whatever you decide, he'll make the posters.
Yes. Well, he has, of course, and he's got it down as a spring walk through the primroses and daffodils. Plenty of daffodils about?
Not only around here, as I can see.
Mm-hmm. Morning. And then you've got Harvey Briggs involved as well.
Oh, yes, we've got him.
Well, Harvey's not a Grenaby man, though, is he?
No, but he's an awful helpful man.
Yes. Well, he'll be able to be a good guide for the two.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. He'll be able to talk with them.
Now, we've had bad weather at the start of the week, and we had the threat of snow. Today the sun is shining. It's absolutely like a summer's day here, so this is what you want for Sunday, really, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
What's the Grenaby weather like at this time of the year? Is it all good?
It could be anything, can't it, John? Or is it just anything?
Yes. Right, John. John's joined us as well. What do you think of this idea, John?
Very good idea, I suppose, yes.
Will you be getting out with it yourself?
No.
It's going to start up here at the farm. What sort of farming are you doing here now?
Well, not much going on now. Down to the yows.
The yows?
Yeah. Yeah, the radio.
Just a few. What do you got, just a few?
Yes.
The old cottage there, then the Sultan, which we referred to there, Charlie Preston's cottage, it's still got a bit of flooring in, a bit of roofing, is it?
No roof.
No roof at all? No. You must have had offers to buy that.
I had a few. It's a bit out of the way, you see.
Yeah. There's no road to it, is
and
there?
There's a road, but not what you call a road today at all.
Aye. It's in a good spot, though.
Oh, yes, it'd be in a good spot, yes, but you don't sell what you've got, do you? If it's any good, do you?
When was it last lived in, do you know?
Somebody was saying it was last lived in 1921, wasn't it?
As recent as that?
Yes. That's when Arnold Collett said they moved out, wasn't it? Mm. Because Arnold Collett, you know, the taxi support, he lived here.
Oh, did he?
Yes. That's the copy of the original Grenaby Bridge.
Yes.
That house is not there. Those houses are not there now.
Mm-hmm.
The mill house was in here. This side.
Uh-huh.
That's the old smithy.
Now, this is, of course, what we're looking here at, an article written by Harvey Briggs. So he has sort of been digging into the history of Grenaby a bit, hasn't he?
Our daughter did. She wrote it.
Oh, Frances wrote that, did she?
Mm.
Yes. And there there's a picture of Crogbreck.
Yes.
It's one of the nicest looking Sultans in the whole island, I think, isn't it?
Yes. I would think so. I haven't seen many.
Mm.
I've seen
quite a few, and that's a Mike Goldie photograph, and I remember going there with Mike Goldie. We did one of our series there, and it was in the middle of the summertime, and it looked absolutely marvellous.
It's
and
all golden granite, isn't it, John?
Yeah.
Built in golden granite.
Yeah. Well, George Garrett's joined us now. George, we're talking here about the old Sultan at Crogbreck, which belonged to Charlie Preston. Now, what do you remember of the Prestons?
Well, I remember Willie. He was an old man when I knew him. But you didn't see very much of him because I think he was an old man and he spent a bit of time in bed.
Mm.
But in his young days, he'd been a shoemaker and I suppose he helped on the farm. He'd done a bit of crafting.
Mm-hmm.
But
you'd only be a youngster at the time.
Oh, yes. Oh, I about six, seven. He had a big beard.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Well, they all had big beards, then.
He had a big beard, bigger than yours.
But the shoemaking thing he did there down at Crogbreck.
Oh, yes. Oh, aye. I can show you the old place where he was doing it, son, I laughed.
Mm.
It was above a cowhouse and joining the house.
Yes.
Is it what they call split level?
Yes, I've seen the old Sultan, yes.
But there was a door facing north on it, and one facing the east, and the other was facing the south. So there was no window, so whichever way the wind was, I suppose he was using a door for light.
All right, yeah, and, no windows up there at all.
No, there wasn't a window in it, but just a door, and...
You'd be liable to hit your thumb a few times.
Yes, but old Willie...
Yes?
Old Willie, in his young days, when, I suppose, in the summer, when shoemaking was busy, he used to go around scything, and there's a field there back at Grenaby, and there's about 2.5 acres in it, and old Madrill that farmed the place said Willie used to cut it for 3 and 6.
3 and 6 for 3.5 acres?
2.5 acres.
Oh, 2.5 acres.
And he used to charge 3 and 6 for cutting it with the scythe.
And, I mean, there's people today who won't even know what we're talking about when you say a scythe, really.
No,
it's changed to that extent, hasn't it?
I don't suppose so, but...
Well, how long would it take you to scythe a field of 2.5 acres, then?
I don't know. It would take me a long time. I don't know. But I suppose the like of him, he would get up and have his breakfast and go in the morning. He'd have nothing else. Really, that would be what he'd be doing all day, and he might be there until God knows what time at night. You wouldn't know. You don't know, because he didn't have television to sit and look at, and he didn't read the paper.
No. But...
And seeing he was a bachelor, you see, he'd...
He'd be enjoying it as well. Well, you'd have a job to find anybody today who could even use a scythe, really, I suppose.
Well, I think there is still people there.
Still a few, yes.
Aye.
Not many that want to do that job, though.
But the scythes you get now, it's hard. Them scythes in the old days was man-made. But the newer scythes, it's not the set on them. You can't get the edge either. The steel is not in them.
No, the steel won't be as good, I suppose. And the blacksmith will have made the blades, will he?
Well, no, they might have done it one time, but whether the foundry in Douglas had made them, I don't know. But I don't think the blacksmith used to come, and the blacksmith used to set them for you. You brought them to the blacksmith with the handle, and he set them up for you, you know. And this year, blacksmith across the way is Jim Tier. And he was very good at it because he could use the scythe himself. He'd keep a cow in a field, and he'd done a bit of farming, so he knew how it was done, and he could do a good job of it.
But they're mainly museum pieces now, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, I've got one out there, sure.
You actually can still buy scythes?
Oh, yes, yes. Right. But I think there's a metal handle now. There used to be a rounded handle, you know, shaped handle for your hip sort of thing or something, I think it was.
Yes.
But I think in the old days when they cut corn, they'd one with a straight handle in.
Oh. That would be harder to use, wouldn't
it? I don't know. I don't know what was the idea of it. But
just going back to the shoemaking and boot soling or whatever it would be, they wouldn't have all that many pairs of shoes or boots anyway, would they?
Well, no, I suppose one pair of boots was doing them Sunday and Saturday. But they were very good. There's good leather in them them days, you know.
Yeah.
You could clean them up, and they were... But he used to make boots as well.
He'd make them as well?
Oh, yes. Right. He was a proper tradesman. He could... Do you reckon he was very good?
Mm. And then if you only had one pair of boots, you'd have to wait while he got them fixed for you, would you?
Oh, yes, he would fix them while you waited. Oh, yes, if you're desperate. I think he's a very good-natured man, too. If you had no money, it didn't matter either, as long as he was delighted to keep you going.
It was just mainly the farmers that would be wanting these boots to do it.
Oh, no. We're doing ladies and women, or children, everything.
Yeah. George Garrett, and if you get down to the Cronkbrack Grenaby area on Sunday, go along there. It starts from 2 o'clock, daffodils and primroses. And ask John about the yows. He'll tell you all about them if you give him time to...
The background as well. Recording you're about to hear was recorded for one of our Christmas Day programmes and will form the first part in a short series in which I'll be talking to both George and John Garrett and Howard Jones, all three of them together for this first one. And we've been talking, among other things, about superstitions. And by tradition, rats are known as longtails by the seamen in the island, and have been, as long as I can remember, certainly. But not, it seems, the farmers. I asked George Garrett if, on the farms, they would really be terribly bothered about using rat instead of longtail.
No. The rats is a rat. What else can you
Long tail.
Oh, well, anything could be a long tail. Not only a rat that's got a long tail, you know.
What? You're not, are you?
Are you superstitious?
No, but everybody else seems to be.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Have you ever called them long tails, son?
No. Oh. Call them by their proper name.
Aye.
That's all we ever called them, wasn't it?
Yeah. Rats.
Aye. Aye.
Yes, yes.
But they were a big problem on the farms, weren't they?
They were once. But, The fourpence a tail, or the twopence a tail it was, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And fourpence for the she one.
So is that, you were going out getting them yourself, or you had?
Oh, aye. And when the thrashing time, that's the time you'd pick them up.
So you just pick them off the ground almost?
Well, no, the dogs were there to kill them.
Oh, the dogs got them?
Oh, the dogs, wasn't it, George?
Aye.
Yeah, the dogs. There were plenty of dogs about there that time.
Aye. And the men was fiercer than the dogs. Money was that bloody scarce.
So what would the farmer being paid then? I mean, we're talking about the 30s, are we now?
Oh, no.
Later than that, isn't it?
Yes.
The 40s.
In the 40s, yes. In the 40s.
£3 a week?
Wartime.
No wartime, yeah.
£3 a week?
No, it wouldn't answer that, I don't think at all. Not with me.
What's that? £3
a week.
Wages, no.
No, for the tails.
Oh, no.
How much would you make on the tails in a week, then?
Depend how many you had.
Well, what's your best then, Howard?
Oh, I can't remember now. We used to take them to the smithy in Balasella.
The
blacksmith that took them.
Yeah.
And he counted them. And he paid you what it was worth. No. Tuppence for a tail.
Long enough you cut them in two.
That was beer money, was it?
Yes.
Right, George, you were on them as well, were you?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, we were on them too. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you got a good meal day, you'd have a pound or two. You could get a pint out of it and, you know, a bit of pocket money.
You'd get more than a pound for a pound then, wouldn't you?
Oh, it was only about 8 pence or 10 pence a pint, weren't Howard, then? We used to get a blue label. First of all, we started to have a drink of it that night. A blue label was 5 pence and a red label was 6 pence. And I don't know, what was a Guinness, 5 pence or 6 pence or something like that?
No idea, George.
But I remember one time, the neighbour down the road here, really pimpy, we don't put hay in. For thrashing, what was it, Howard, were you doing? And he brought a bucket of...
Shandy?
Stout, he called it.
Stout, yeah.
It was lemonade and Guinness, you see, and we were a young flesh. But we thought this was wonderful stuff, this, you know, good. So we went to Douglas on Saturday night, and we were going round on the pubs, and we were wanting a stout, you see, and he said he didn't sell it. It was only Guinness they were selling. And we didn't know the difference.
Yeah. Listen, just getting back to those tails then that you were talking about. Now, when they were collecting in the rabbit tails, of course, we're told they were putting in all sorts of things, bits of carpet and anything they could. Was there a bit of fiddling going on with the rat tail?
Oh, yes. You could get a duck root. You know, if you dried it off a bit, or a mango root, it looked something similar, you know. And these flat didn't look at them very much. They're afraid of them a bit, you see. Well, they get a bit smelly, you know, if you had them in a week or two. You know, you wouldn't have done it yourself, would you? You know, you...
No.
Oh, no. And there was no masks them days.
No masks. Well, what's happened to... You cut the tail off. What's happened to the rest of the body of the animal, then?
Oh, we disposed of that.
Where'd they go?
Gulls eat that.
What?
The gulls would eat that.
Would they?
Oh, aye.
What a catch of that.
The cats?
You buried them too. We used to bury the midden. But then they all ran off good in the midden. When you're putting dung out, you'd come on these old things, you know. You know, they were...
But they were recycled, weren't they?
Oh, aye. Yes.
You're cooked with the heat of the muck, you see. The dung would go hot. It would cook the carcass.
Yes.
Why?
We used to do all right on them, you know. That's our pocket money. You didn't get much when you're working home or working on a farm. Mm. If you were paid for a mill day, it was only 5 shillings on your food.
5 shillings on the mill? All day?
Aye, that's all it was. And then went up to about 10 or 12 shillings. But to finish up with it wasn't very dear, was it, Howard?
No.
Half a crown was the first day I got.
Was it?
Aye.
Yeah.
Half a crown is up to 5 shillings, then to 10 shillings. I think the highest ever I got was a £2.
Was it?
Towards the end. That was nearly up in the 70s, wasn't it, George?
Yeah.
Yes, up in the 70s.
Yeah. Oh, aye.
Yeah.
I remember doing 3 days. I done 3 days for a fella, and he gave me 7 and 6. And I thought he made a mistake, but it seems he hadn't.
Right. Well, you must have had other ways to boost your income. Did you pick blackberries for Russian Abbey?
Well, that was when we were kids. We were only school kids, so we'd done that, like, you know.
Was it? Aye.
My mother and sisters would be, gathering them, and it's not far. It was a done thing, you know, around this district, Russian Abbey, you know, and the war was on, and I suppose food was scarce, so it was a done thing.
John, do you ever go out and pick blackberries yourself?
No, I didn't like my fingers getting black and prickled.
What about the people around here, then?
Oh, they're all right. I didn't mind them picking them, making a bit of jam for you.
What did they use to pick them into?
The bucket was empty.
Well, tell me about the bucket, then.
If the bucket was empty, you used the bucket, you see.
What bucket? you were involved with Russian Abbey, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
What were you doing there?
I used to come home from school and go down to pick strawberries at night. And then all day Saturday, fourpence an hour we got.
That was good money then, wasn't it?
It was pretty good, yes.
Better than rat's tails and jam, was it?
Well, it was good fun.
Yes. What was the jam like? Did it taste all right out of the bucket?
The jam was good.
Did you all try it? Did you try the jam then?
Oh, yes.
Oh, aye.
Oh, aye, that's a delicacy.
Well, what about superstitions then? Because there are a lot of them around the Isle of Man. Were there any on the farms?
Well, I think there were a few around Granby. The fairies.
Oh,
I remember when I used to come home from school, there was an old fellow down here at the bottom sitting, and he says that he was caught by the fairies. I was took, he said, by the fairies one day when he was a young fellow, and they were all dancing around me, he said, and I was there frightened at a rat, he said. And I said to him, how did you get on? Did they all... He said he peed on them, and they all ran.
And they all ran away?
And they all ran down among the trees. I sung he said that shifted them.
I think he was having you on, wasn't he?
I don't know. No, they were seeing things those days, weren't they?
Why were they then?
Johnny Bigfoot was down there, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Just a minute. Johnny Bigfoot, who's that?
I don't know who he was, he'll tell you.
Who was Johnny Bigfoot?
I don't know who he was.
He was supposed to be walking up and down Granby Hill the other night. Jackie Squarefoot he was.
Jackie Squarefoot.
Jackie Squarefoot. The old people reckons he had feet about 2 foot long. You know, and he used to be about here at night. But I never seen him.
There's a fella called Bigfoot in America. Maybe he's gone over there.
Well, maybe it's a son of his that went out to America, you know. But this fella, he was about here. He used to legend round here, like when we were kids, all the old people would tell you about Jackie Squarefoot. Some of them had seen him, I think.
But this to frighten you, was it?
Well, I don't know what, but they actually thought they'd seen him. I don't know.
Well, I know they were all seeing fairies and dogs and guns, what all them days, weren't they?
Yes, yes.
I think since the lights had come in.
Well, George Quayle, in his book, had a theory about this, didn't he, that there was something growing on the grain, on the wheat at the time. There was a sort of gave them hallucinations.
That's right, the smut. Smut, we call it smut. And that...
Have you ever had hallucinations?
No, only when I've had ale.
any other superstition? Well, you're not superstitious at all.
No. Well, what? Why? There's no reason, you know. No, I was never. I didn't mind walking under a ladder, but I remember people. Well, my grandfather, especially up there, some of the uncles, they wouldn't start to do nothing on a Friday. Like sowing corn or sowing turnips. You start on Thursday night and just do a few ridges so you'd be ready for Friday. But they wouldn't start a new job on the Friday because it one time it was Hangman's Day, so they wouldn't...
Hangman's Day?
No, it was Hangman's Day. It was a Friday, so they wouldn't do nothing on a Friday. You know, and not no new job. They do their jobs they were doing. Or,
yeah, wouldn't start anything fresh.
No, wouldn't start anything fresh on a Friday.
What about the Friday the 13th, then? Was that even worse, was it?
Well, I don't know. That didn't seem to...
count.
What, they couldn't, what?
They couldn't count, you see.
were there any other superstitions, Howard, do you remember?
Well, I remember when we lived in the village once, just after we were married, And my wife complained about the flies getting on the nappies, dirty in the nappies. And she said they were coming off a tree. So I said, I'll make short work of that. I went in, got the saw and cut it up. And fell and cut it up for firewood. And the next day I went home, she said there was some wolf looking over the hedge, and he said that my son girl have done a bad job there cutting the tree down. You should never have done that. You should never cut a tremmin tree down.
All right, yes.
Always pull it or break it or do something, but never. You'll have bad luck now, he said. And by God, he was right.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Get a stick and knock hell out of it.
Yeah?
The tremmin tree.
Oh.
Why?
Aye.
Yeah, it's a strange thing about the tremmin tree, isn't it, really?
Yes. And I think that's still about, isn't it, these still?
Well, yeah. It must be with something. Oh, yeah.
I think it is, but... well, there's tremmin trees about here, but we never had any reason to cut them or chop them down. They seem to be, you know, doing their own thing and growing their own way. That's,
you know. They'd be elders to people today, I suppose.
Yes, getting the berries and the wine.
Yes.
Yeah, they made good wine.
Did you make too big of wine yourself?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what did we make last year, George?
Oh, elderflowers.
Elderflower?
Aye. Very good it was. Very... Very nice.
You often get the male flowers, though.
I don't know. I just picked any.
Uh-oh.
I don't know whether he or she's. They all look the same. How do you differentiate them? Do you know?
I think there's a bit of a smell of them, isn't it?
Oh, these was nice scent of these. I must have the female ones then. Unless the other ones had aftershave on or something.
George Garrett, the conversation went on and on. George Garrett.
And how so to reap and mow. And be a farmer's boy, and be a farmer's boy.
We've had a lot of response for our series of farmer's boys, no less than the response last week when we introduced to you the Garrett family down at Grenaby. Well, we're back with them today, with George and John and other members, and Howard Jones is there as well, as we talk about some of the, well, partly anyway, some of the sayings that have been lost along the way, the old sayings that Manx people used. We were struggling to find them for a time, but after that we took a run out into the farmyard itself to take a look at some of the old farm equipment that was lying around there, now obsolete and almost forming its own museum. So off we go, first of all, with George Garrett.
A farmer up the road, you know, and he used to go to the mart with us, you know, and that. There's one week in the mart, you know. Well, every week in the mart at that time, the commercial travellers would be all there, and they're all well-dressed, you see. Good suit on them, you know. Bit of a shine on them. And one week he was down there, he said to me, oh, look at them, boy, look at them, he said. He said, they're all there, he said, dressed up, he said. A shine on them like a drake's neck. Yeah, shine on them, he said, like a drake's neck. Yeah. Why?
There'd be a few Manx expressions in those days as well, Howard. I mean, can you recall them,
isn't it?
It's surprising. You've forgotten all the Manx sayings and all the lot, you know. They're all forgotten at us now. All these Manx sayings, this, you know, used to refer sometimes, you know, a farmer's wife, some of them, you know. Used to call them jowjigs.
Yeah, did they?
Aye. You know, a lot of this stuff is all...
Doesn't sound very...
It sounds a bit fierce, doesn't it?
It sounds a bit wild.
You know. And, you know, some of them there, you used to say, you know, a woman that's a bit, you know, very uptight, you know, very business-like, you know, they used to say, well, she'd a well-starched corset on.
Well, that's good. I remember they used to...
Any of them in Radio Manx?
Oh, there could be a few.
There could be.
I remember my parents talking about having a bravag.
Aye.
That would be warming your knees, would it?
Oh, yes. And,
well, it wasn't your knees you were warming. Your knees inside the fire.
You turned round, had you, John? You turned round, had you?
No.
What else have we got in Manx sayings, then? As you say, it's hard to recall them.
Yes, you forget a lot of them.
You used to say, you know, you see a woman with a very tight mouth, you know, she was a jowjig.
A jowjig?
Aye.
Yes.
Now, my grandfather used to say if anything went wrong, it had gone ask Glidden.
Yeah?
Gone ask Glidden. He didn't swear, he's a bit religious, you know, but it...
Ask Glidden, well, that sounds all right, though.
Yes, he used to say, oh, it's gone ask Glidden, but...
Yeah, as long as you put the Glidden bit, you know.
Yes.
Say that again, will you?
That's about faces, the bottom way.
I know this, there's a lot of these things we should have... years ago, I suppose, it should have been recorded like this, a lot of
yes,
it, you know.
That's right.
And... because a lot of them people, they had... now, a lot of the old people that lived around here, their, you know, their voice and all, they had a bit of a drawl on it. They spoke... a lot of the old men up around here, they small, they, you know, drawled a bit in their speech. It was a bit like these North Americans talking.
Was it?
Oh, aye.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly like... like that.
Was there any people who were still conversing in Manx at all that you ever remember? Or not?
Well, there was an old chap up the road, Tommy Lees, he did.
Mm.
But then nobody else could talk Manx, so you didn't know whether he was talking Manx or not. He was a bit like me.
Right, let's get some stories from Howard here then.
Robert
Convig.
He's got a real Manx voice, hasn't he?
Who?
Robert Convig.
Aye.
Robert is good, isn't he?
Robert Convig.
Yeah.
Oh, the ducks man.
Yes, right, yeah. Aye. Yeah, that's him.
Yes.
Robert is good. Well, I don't know, really, what... I can't remember anything just present.
Not of Manx sayings, no.
I've heard plenty of them, but...
No. John's laughing.
John's here. Laughing here, but
he's just thought of one, I think.
What's that?
Go on, John.
No.
Yeah, you mean?
Say that again, John.
If you're going for a walk, bring the bucket with you. You might get some blackberries.
You want to have a walk around?
Yes, we're going to do that. Right, now we've come out into the farmyard to have a look around here. They're fascinating places, these, because they're always full of all things. There's about 16 old tractors here in various states of repair, mostly beyond the pale, aren't they, sure?
Oh, aye, yes. Yes, well, this first old plough, these are not mine. They belong to a chap that's interested in this vintage. He had visions of doing them up, but I think they're getting past it now a bit.
Well, there's an old plough here.
Yeah, well, this is a Pierce.
Oh.
It is in bed. I don't know whether you can get it put together again or not. There's bits missing.
Well, they're all rusting away here, but what's this thing alongside us here?
Well, that's a cellar plough.
It's a what?
A cellar. That's a cellar plough. That's a plough too.
Aye.
And the other one that's on the side there, that's a ransom. They're drag ploughs.
They've seen better days, of course.
Oh, yes.
Right.
He would come in the wartime, I should think, you know.
So, then you've got... there's an old reaper somewhere, isn't there?
Oh, there's one here. That's a ransom, too.
Yeah. Yes, now there we are.
That's a ransom. That's a finger mower.
Aye.
And
then you've got all other bits around here. What are all these things here?
That's a fertilized spreader and a crop sprayer and hay turner, you know.
It's more like a retirement home for old rusting
things. Well,
things.
That's what it is. You see, this old stuff is not worth nothing to sell, you know. And then I can't afford anything better, you see. And, you know,
that's what all the farmers say.
You've got to make the most of it.
But these implements mostly, Howard, I mean, the ploughs and so on, they were all, like, made of iron, weren't they? So rust didn't seem to matter on them, did they?
Well, they were solid, weren't they?
Aye.
Yeah.
Well, was there much maintenance to do on things like that in the farm, then?
Well, you had to keep points on them, didn't you, George?
Oh, look after the ploughs.
The ploughs and things like.
Aye.
But you can see the rust is coming on them now.
Aye.
But
so you didn't. I mean, you didn't have to take them to pieces and oil them and service them and all that sort of thing. Most implements then.
It should have been done. But it wasn't always done.
That's why they're out here, is it?
Yes. But the old iron stuff. Back after war and before the war, it didn't rust very much. It's this new, it's this modern stuff that's
steel
rust.
Stuff that's going.
Yes, it's this modern stuff.
Yes.
But the other, it's a lot of cast, marble cast and stuff, and it didn't, that stuff didn't rust very much.
No.
This is, I think you got here, George, isn't it? A turnip gapper.
A what? A what?
That's a duck. No, a turnip gapper, that, yes.
A turnip gapper? What's a turnip gapper, then?
Well, you ran down that when the temps got up to about 2 inches, you ran it on and it thinned them out a bit.
Ah, right.
When it towered.
Yeah. Otherwise, you had to creep and, you know, to thin the turnips.
Oh, yeah,
well. To single them.
I thought you had to anyway. What, put sacks on your knees and off you
That's
go?
That's right, yeah. But this was a help, wasn't it, George?
Oh, yes, that was the modern way of doing it.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, well, people started to get modern when they got them things, you know.
This was bringing you up, what, the 1960s or something?
Oh, no, before that.
Before
the
that.
40s.
Oh, the 40s?
Yeah,
oh,
40s. Yeah. Early 50s, you see. Because
yes.
turnips was the chief crop for winter feed, you see.
Yeah.
And, of course, we used to ship these turnips. We used to bag them. When we howard, we used to bag them and they were exported to Liverpool.
Yeah. Yes.
There was a big demand on them, and but that was a good enough thing. And over here we've got a turnip docker.
Ah, show me that then. Let's have a look at that. Right, now then, if you can see it through the nettles, yeah.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't think it, you know, but I used this last year. This meant the nettles just grew up now. I got the turnips this last winter. When we bought that, I don't know when it would be. It'd be in the 50s, I should think. It's £125.
Who made this? Heath Robinson, was it?
No, I don't know who. Maybe it was made in the House of Keys. when we purchased that, it was new, it was £125, you know. And my brother that bought it.
What did it actually do then?
Well, it ducked the turnips. You didn't. Oh, it was making a fair good job of the turnips.
Yeah.
See, this part here.
That's a sort of blade. Well,
that went first and it cut the tops off.
Yes.
And then there's another thing here. A bit of ginny nettles here. But this went round and it trimmed them down a bit further.
Yes.
You know, to clear them up. And this back part cut them out of the ground and put them into... You were putting two ridges in a row where you duck by hand, you're putting four.
Aye.
But it was a very useful implement, that.
Somebody often says the expression, grasp the nettle. You hear this, the politicians say, you know, Howard's just pulling them out in his hand there.
Yeah.
Don't get a sting then.
No, they didn't sting.
What?
But when this came on the wagon, when my father seen it, he said, "What's that going to cost?" And John said, £125. And he swore a bit. He was a bit. And he said, "If you're too lazy to duck the turnips," he said, "it's time to chuck it."
Yes.
Yeah, they were done with sickles, weren't they?
Yeah. Aye, of course.
Yes.
I see you've got a few free-range hens around here as well. Does that mean the eggs are all over the place?
Right, that's the other type. They're sort of banty type. And they lay in the hen house in the springtime.
Yeah.
But once these nettles and the grass grows up, they've gone away, they hide then, and they lay and hatch out. That's how there's so many of these about.
So free-range hens aren't a good idea then, are they? Or are they?
Well, no, I don't think so. Not particularly these type, because we get a lot of magpies around here and greybacks, and they pinch. They can see their hen as soon as they can see the egg before she lays it.
Wonderful fellas, George Garrett, Howard Jones and others, and we'll be back down there in Granby next week.
A country boy am I, a rustic bred and born. The birds do sing and so do I, rise at the early morn. To reap and mow and be a farmer's boy, and be a farmer's boy.
And today, for the third and final time, for the time being anyway, we're going to meet up with George Garrett and Howard Jones back down there at Grenaby, down at the bottom of the valley at the bridge at Grenaby, where one of the first things we looked at was an old Tyve egg.
Yes, that's a Tyve egg, and it's right on the riverbank.
We're on the bridge, near on the bridge at Grenaby here now. So it's on the riverbank for some reason, is it?
Well, I suppose it was handy to clean it. You tippled into the river and went away. You'd got a good, flood on. It'd been raining.
And that... This looks pretty old, then.
Oh, yes. The people couldn't have been awful big at one time, because that door's not very, you know.
Oh, it's about, 5 foot, is it? So?
It's very narrow. I don't know.
You'd have to bend down once you go inside.
You'd have to, yes. I think you'd have to back in.
So you fellas have never used it then, by the sound of things here.
There must have been a window there, George.
Well, there could have been.
I suppose they'd want to look out too, and they were using it. Passing cart, going past. And
never mind looking out, you could look in from here as you're passing them, couldn't you?
Oh, there'd be a door on it. Oh, there would be a door.
Well, it's opposite to what you're telling me was the smithy here, then.
Yes, that's the smithy, and that there, that's it's the smithy.
Or was the smithy?
It was the smithy. It before my time, of course. And the other side was the chap kept a horse because he went on the heading. He called him a cadger, in the summertime he went on the heading. Mm-hmm. He went to Peel and got a load of heading and selling it around the countryside. So when the smithy wasn't so busy in the summer, he went on the heading. And it was Corran was the last to have it.
Corran?
Corran's, yeah.
So this is before your time, you say?
Oh, yes, all long before my time. Yeah. The last of the Corrans, it was Eric at Billabeg.
Yeah.
He was a blacksmith with Frank Oates at Billabeg. But his family, they were here for generations, I believe.
Where would you have sent your horses to be shod then?
Oh, across the ways.
Cross four ways?
Aye.
Did you go to Billabeg?
Aye, we did go sometimes, but mostly it was cross the ways.
Jimmy Tear.
Yeah. The reason we went to Billabeg, we had a horse that wasn't awful good to shoe, and it was old Jim, and he was getting old at the time. But once Jimmy came back into the smithy, we went there, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better step aside, we're going to be running over here.
Motor car, yes.
Yes, there wouldn't be many motor cars when you were a schoolboy here then.
Oh, no, none at all.
None at all.
No, not many. Old Billy Watson, farming up the top, he had a motor car. A Chevrolet.
Oh, aye.
He had a Chevrolet. That sounds good, doesn't it? And old Madrill, where we've just seen this new house getting built, old Madrill, old Albert, he had a Morris, bull nose with a dickey seat on the back.
A dickey seat?
Yeah. Did you ever see one?
I can't remember.
The lid lifted up.
Aye, there.
Oh, the lid,
at the back, and two people could sit in it, out in the open.
Yeah.
And off a Saturday, he put his produce in that, and he went to Douglas, because he'd a sister and a niece that kept a shop in, not Drinkwater Street, the next one on, I think, around that area. Uh-huh. And they had a greengrocer shop, and he took produce and his eggs and all into there to sell them, you know. Uh-huh. But before he had a car, I think he went to eat a horse and smart horse and trapped and went.
Well, all the farmers went down to Castletown on a Friday when we were living down further. They all went down, didn't they, in their throats every Friday with their produce.
How many farmers have been making a living around this area then, Howard?
Well, we counted about 13.
Yes, we counted 13.
Aye.
Yes, we counted 13.
And what would be now?
Five, wasn't it?
Five, I think.
Yeah. Four to five.
Yes.
So, really, everybody who lived down here was working in agriculture or something?
Oh, yes. Well, the people that would live in this house, Elmer Shimon, he worked on the high road and on the water board and things. He did do spells on farms and things around. But the chap that lived in before was Harris, and he was a gardener, a shop-hand gardener. He worked for Freer's in down at Balakagan.
Well, the sun's coming out. Grenaby looks nice here in the sunshine. There's a very narrow bridge coming round there, of course, isn't it? That was never made for cars, I'm sure, was it, that?
No, but the steam engine, the mill and the steam engine used to get round it. Used to stop there and lift their water to get up the hill again.
Really? Yeah.
Yes, and right here there was a row of terrace of houses, you know, the farm workers' cottages.
Not room to have a cottage in there, is it?
Well, he must have been. Well, people didn't live in big houses one time.
No.
I don't know how many there was here. There must have been.
Do you actually remember people living here?
No. I can remember the ruins off the bottom one.
Yeah.
And Ernie Pemberton, when he was in the farm down the road, because this belonged to his landlord, and he carted it away to build hedges. And
so they were stone built by Luke what's left
here?
Yes,
they were stone built.
Yeah.
And
this must be the old fireplace here yet, George, is it?
Yeah, that's the one of the old fireplaces, isn't it, you see?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But, I don't know, I think Harry Nanny was the last to live in the bottom one.
Was he?
He worked for Shim and Granby. Harry Nanny, Harry Kagan.
Harry Kagan.
He went by Harry Nanny, and I think he lived in the bottom one.
Was Billy there with him? But there was Billy Nanny.
Aye. But I don't know whether I could have been, you know. There'd be room for two of them, eh? Don't you think?
Well, just down below, said on the bridge, there's a footpath sign, public footpath to Ballymoda Road. Now, if you go in that direction, of course, you come to the old cottage that was belonging to the Prestons, and I mean that's something with a bit of history as well around this area, isn't it?
Oh yes, and that was the mill, the corn mill was there.
Oh, I see.
That was the corn mill.
There's just a bit of a wall left there.
Aye, there's just a bit of a wall. The water wheel, I can remember the water wheel and all there.
Really?
The water wheel was there. It's been filled up with rubbish now. And you see the doors at that garage, that green door?
Yes.
That was the joiner shop.
Ah, yes, yes.
And just in front here, in the back of the mill, there used to be big pits. And they were built with stone walled up, where they used to stand in to cut the logs with the big handsaws.
Oh, yes.
And I can remember all them there,
yes.
You know.
The mill race starts right up the river, doesn't it, there, George?
The mill race starts right up, and that's where the flax mill is, or was.
Oh, flax mill as well.
Oh, there's a flax mill up the river.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how they got to it, because there's no road, and it's down in a valley sort of thing. I don't know how they got to it.
Yeah.
But the flax mill was there, and the stones was used out of that flax mill, they tell me, to build the barn, the old barn and granary up on the farm. Up the road,
I was on the old granary farm.
Yes, they carted the stuff up and built.
Yes.
Old man will tell me they carted, that's what they did, they carted the stone up and built.
And that's where Harry and Maud lived, isn't it?
That's where Harry Sloan and Maud lived.
Now, who are they then?
I don't know. Oh. He'd been a miller in Silverdale, or.
Harry?
Yes.
Well, he was, he'd down in Russian Abbey miller,
yes,
I think,
yes.
As well. That's right, yeah.
Yes, he said when he was young, his parents worked on, or his mother worked on Ronaldsway Farm, you know. Right down where the airport is now. Mm. And he worked on that. His mother did. And he was down there with her.
Looks well now, doesn't it, that place?
Yes, it does.
Oh, aye.
Well, he once climbed in with some corn for his hens.
Aye.
And there was ashes from the fire grate out on the front door.
Yeah. Yes.
We won't go to the Prestons' old house now, but that's a picturesque old ruin up there, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Now, they were cobblers, were they?
Well, they were cobblers, yes. Willie was the cobbler. He had sort of a short leg or something, you know. He couldn't have been good enough for farm work, but he must have learnt of a trade. But it was a family of cobblers,
because he had a brother cobbler.